How sweet it is when God's people gather together around the Word of God. And faith comes through hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And so we open our hearts, our minds, and now our ears to the Word of God. As we continue our journey in the book of Hebrews, we find ourselves in chapter 11. And chapter 11 has been called the Hall of Faith. It is a great chapter on faith, and here in front of us, the word faith is going to be mentioned 24 times, and here in front of us, the phrase by faith is going to be mentioned 19 times, and God wants to stir up our faith as we look through this chapter. The chapter begins, and we'll see today, just a definition, God's definition of faith. And from there, he begins to stir up our thinking and encourage us by showing us examples of the faith. And you say, Pastor David, I know I've heard about this. These are the super saints. This is a story about the super saints who have gone before us. Well, not exactly. Let me suggest to you that these people that are going to be presented to us over the next 3 weeks as we go through this chapter, are ordinary men and women just like us who had faith in a great God, and they tapped into the greatness of God by faith, and by faith they were able to do great things. They were just ordinary men and women who did extraordinary things by their faith, and God gives us that same opportunity to live by faith. God's desire for us is that we would live by faith. And so after hearing these things over the next 3 weeks, I pray that you would be encouraged to live out your lives, live out all of your days walking by faith in our amazing God. Now, by way of example, I sure could use a volunteer. Yes, come on up here, young man. All right. Are you feeling brave today? Your papa made you. Okay. Well, look, we're going to have fun, okay? Tell me your name.
Colton.
Let's give a big round of applause for Colton. Okay. We're going to go with Colton. You guys hang back a little bit. I want to see if you'll trust me. Will you trust me?
Sure.
You don't even know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you can trust me. And so what you're going to do, I'm going to move this a little further so everybody can see your bravery, Colton. So you're going to stand here, and I like your fancy boots. And you're going to do something brave. You're going to keep your heels on the ground and your back straight, and you're just going to fall straight back like that, and I'm going to catch you. Do you believe me?
Yeah.
You believe me. Okay, well, that's good. Okay, so I'm going to count to three, Colton, and you're just going to fall right back. Let's give a big round of applause for Colton to encourage him to now have faith that I'm going to do what I said I was going to do. On the count of three, Colton, you fall back. I will catch you. One, two, three. Fall back. Yeah, all right, Colton. You did it. Yeah. Okay. Let's go back. The little ones, go back to your seats. Go find mom and dad. Thank you for volunteering. Watch your step going down there. Thank you guys for volunteering as well. I'm proud of you. Give all of them a big round of applause. Wow. I don't know. Somebody said to me last night, says, you fall back. I said, how many of you want me to fall back? Pastor Jim will catch me. And they'll say, everyone said, do it. It's like, man, I trust Pastor Jim. I don't know if I want to fall back. God's telling us by faith, do these things. I got you. Do you believe God? God's got this. God's got this, and he says, I want you to trust me. And it's easy to say, sure. Then he says, fall back and prove it with your life. And this is the chapter on faith that we all get to participate in, not in the laboratory with our words, but in the world with our lives. We get the opportunity to prove and demonstrate our faith. What we actually do then validates and verifies what we say we believe. It's so easy to sit in here on padded chairs, heat or air conditioned, and we just say, yeah, we believe all these things. But then you actually have to live out the faith. Live by faith. This is what this is about. A definition of faith, which helps us, but then the examples of faith, which inspire us. Make no mistake about it. God is going to watch your hearts and your motives throughout your life as to why do you do what you do. And he's going to allow you to be in all types of situations, all types of circumstances, trials, difficulties, temptations, and God is the great heart watcher. He's watching your heart. What will you do in this given situation? What will you do when God puts you in this particular temptation or trial or opportunity? What will you do? And I want to encourage you to be here over these next 3 weeks as we journey through this amazing chapter of faith. And I want to encourage you to trust God, to fall back and say, God's got this, not just with your words, but with your life. And so the author here picks up on this theme that has been woven throughout the tapestry of the book of Hebrews and speaks to us about faith. What is faith? Well, glad you asked. And so the author here says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or the proof of things not seen. Now, I've read that definition many times, and sometimes it's hard to get a little bit of a hold on what is he saying there. So if you're in that position of help me to understand, I want to unpack that a little bit. We're only looking at three verses today, and so it'll help us to spend a little time unpacking, especially in verse 1. He says, now faith, that's the subject. That word faith is talking about belief or trust, to believe and to trust. But in the context here, he's clearly speaking about believing and trusting God. So we're talking about biblical faith. What does God say about faith? And so believing and trusting, faith is the substance. That means there's actually something there of substance. It may not be visible, but it is absolutely there. A.W. Tozer would say, faith is seeing the invisible, but not the non-existent. It is there. It has great substance. And the word substance here, literally, hupostasis, stasis to stand, hupo under, to stand up underneath. There's something under of substance, a foundation. And some of your translations pick up on that substance that stands underneath what we believe, and it speaks of it and translates it as assurance or confidence. Now we have confidence because we are standing on the Word of God. To stand under a guarantee is what the idea of substance means. We're standing under a guarantee, standing under a promised agreement that God has made with you. God has made a promised agreement, and he has spoken that in his word. God is faithful. God is reliable. God never lies. God always tells the truth, and now God has spoken to us, his people, in his word, and his word now stands underneath us and allows us to have a firm foundation in which we can operate in the arena of biblical faith. Faith is this promised agreement. the assurance and the confidence in God's word, what he has said to us of things hoped for. Now, when the Bible speaks about hope, it is not the idea of, man, I hope I can win the lottery. Keep your fingers crossed, I hope. The world has that type of hope, and it has no foundation. There's no underlying promised agreement that is reliable. How many of you have played the lottery? Don't raise your hands. And you hope that you win, and you got a better chance of dying on the way to get your Powerball ticket than you do winning it, right? So don't waste your money. If you do win the Powerball, give all of your money to the church. Don't keep a dime of it. Then we can finish the children's area down beneath us. We can add the parking that we've been talking about for years, right? But hope expressed here is speaking about something altogether different. When I say, I hope the Lord's return is today, you see, I have a confident assurance. You say, Pastor, do you really think the Lord's coming soon? Oh, absolutely. I know he's coming. I hope in the Lord's coming. What's the odds of the Lord coming again? 100%. I mean, the weathermen can't even predict if it's going to rain or snow or be sunny 3 days from now. The best of them. It's hard for them to tell 3 days from now. God knows every day, every moment, everything from now throughout all eternity. There's nothing that God does not know. He's expressed what we need to know here in his word, and it's reliable. And so when we hope about future things, such as the Lord coming again, we have 100% assurance that God knows exactly what he's talking about. Amen? How many of you know God knows what he's talking about? He knows the future perfectly, and he's revealed it to us. And so our hope, then, is confidently waiting for these things that have been promised, the fulfillment of God's promises to us. So, faith, that is believing God, faith is the promised agreement, standing on the firm foundation, having confidence and assurance of things that will definitely happen, confidently waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise. And then he says that faith is the evidence, that is the proof or the conviction, the proof of things that are not yet seen. Now, let's just unpack this just a little bit more as we think about this. Let me just say it this way. Faith, then, for us is confidence in God's word. Do you have absolute trust, and are you willing to fall back and say, God says it, then I'm not going to sit there and tinker with it. I'm not going to edit it. I'm not going to push it to the side, but rather now with my life, I'm going to embrace what God's word says. That's our response. In fact, by the time we get to verse 6, he's going to say, and without faith, that is without believing and trusting in God, his word, his promises, without faith, it's impossible for you to please God. So if I were to ask you today, how many of you want to please God with your life? You would say, I want to please God with my life. How many of you want to please God with your life? Well, it's impossible for you to please God without faith, that is, without believing God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe. Must fall back and trust God, must believe that God exists and that God rewards those who earnestly seek him. Do you believe this? You see, that's how you should read the word of God and say, do I believe this? And my answer is 100%. then now go live that out in your life. And so faith, and I'm just working off that definition he gave us. We defined a few words, but now just kind of explaining that. Faith is confidence in what God says. I believe this. What he says about marriage. What he says about parenting. What he says about life. What he says about church. What he says about how I should live my life. The things that I should focus on. The things that should be my priority. Do I believe that? Yes. And then he's going to look to see if the life matched up with the lips. What I said, does it actually match? And then you have biblical faith that is alive and well. And so faith is the confidence in God's word, not the world, not, man, I found some guy, some guru on the other side of the world who says this. Not faith in some man, not faith in man's teachings and traditions, but faith alone, in God alone. Faith is confidence in God, his word. Watch this. Regardless of your circumstances or regardless of the consequences. Because after we said faith is confidence in God's word, you may have said, okay, I'm fine there, up until it doesn't make sense anymore. For example, we're going to get to the person Noah. Noah, I want you to go build an ark. Noah had been described by God as a preacher of righteousness, that he walked by faith. Well, now let's test the faith. Noah, go build an ark. Why? Because I said so. Yeah, but why? Because I'm going to bring about a flood on the entire earth, and I'm going to have the animals come onto the ark and your family, and you're going to invite anybody who believes to come and be delivered from my wrath because of the sin of the world. And Noah says, but, yeah, it's never rained ever before. There's never, ever been a flood before. It's never even rained. So because of the circumstances, he had an opportunity to say, God, I believe you, but because of the circumstances of this and even the consequences, God, are you kidding me? Can you imagine what the neighbors are going to say if I build this massive ark? I mean, it's going to take years and years, and I'm going to be out in my driveway building this massive ark. There's too many weird circumstances and consequences. You know, I'm going to say no. Or can you imagine if he said, yeah, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to walk by faith. God said build an ark. So he gets together with his family and says, family, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a Bible study on arks. And we're even going to study the word ark. And we're going to get together and we're going to pray about arks. We're going to do all this stuff about arks. God comes back 500 years later. We're still studying about arks and praying about arks, and we're talking about arks, and we've defined the word arks. We've done all these things. God says, did you build it? No. We didn't do that. So as we unpack this definition, listen. Faith is confidence in God's word. Regardless of the circumstances or consequences, resulting in obedience to God. Resulting in obedience. How do you know that you actually have faith? What gives you permission to say, I actually walk by faith? Is it because you're sitting here today? No. I mean, that's a good thing. God says, gather together, you're here. So that's a good sign. Is it because you study? Not necessarily. What is the litmus test that you are walking by faith? And here it is when he says having obedience to God. That we walk by faith speaks of obedience. Interesting, James picks up on this. James says in James 2:14, what does it profit, my brethren? What does it profit if someone says he has faith, but he does not have the corresponding works that match that faith? Can that type of faith save him? And he says in verse 18, and I will show you my faith by my works. You see, they work hand in hand. So faith is confidence in God's word, regardless of your circumstances or consequences, that results in obedience. And Noah, though he was made fun of, no doubt, by his neighbors and everybody who saw him for years and years building this ark, he says, I don't care if they laugh, I don't care if they scorn me, I don't care if the whole world makes fun of me, I'm going to walk with God by faith. No, it's never rained. It doesn't matter. God says, do this. I'm going to do what God says. And that's what makes the difference between the people of God and the people of the world. Now, do you believe this? So you have to resolve in your heart to be in a position of, I'm hearing this, but now receiving and believing to the point where it will actually result in the things taking place in your life. And by way of unpacking this, it helps us to understand what faith is not. Faith, biblical faith, is not wishful thinking. So many people just have wishful thinking. Faith is not wishful thinking that comes from our own selfish desires, our own selfish motives. Faith is not superstition, what others might say about what's right and what's wrong. Faith is not reading horoscopes and believing them, but faith is believing the word of God. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is the certainty of God's revealed word. Faith is not just simply positive thinking. You can find on bookshelves today across this land people speaking about the power of positive thinking. Now, I'm not saying don't be positive, but the idea here is that positive thinking, you can almost will it and make it happen, which is simply a spinoff of the word of faith movement. If I think it, I can have it. And there's people buying into that right and left today. Have success. Think it. Make it happen. Have that type of faith. If I have enough faith, God will heal me. Well, ask Paul how that went. Paul, the great apostle, he prayed and he asked God. I'm sure he thought about it. Take the thorn from my flesh. God answered his prayer. Do you know what the answer was? No. If I have enough faith, God will heal me. That is absolutely not true. God's will is perfect. God is able to heal. He may choose not to. If I have enough faith, God will bless me. Well, God has blessed you in the sending of his son. But we take that to mean material gain. Somebody else must have more faith because they have more financial resources. That's not true at all. If I have enough faith, God will give me a Lamborghini. And the guy that has a Lamborghini must just have great faith, right? No. No. Jesus owns all things, but he didn't drive a Lamborghini. This word of faith movement that appeals to the flesh and the lust of the flesh and the desires of the worldliness that's around us, that I can have a better car, a better wife, a better house. And it just appeals to the flesh. If I can just speak a word of faith and it's going to happen. It's like God is a genie. But that's not biblical faith. Don't fall for all of the lies that are out there deceiving. God's word will anchor you in the truth. Oh boy, if I can just speak a word of faith, I'll get out of trouble. I'll get out of the pain that I'm experiencing. I'll get out of the struggle. And sometimes God allows us to go through a struggle to strengthen genuine faith that we would have in our lives. Faith is trusting God's word. Do you trust God's word? Will you fall back to it? Regardless of your circumstances, follow God. Trust God. Walk by faith. Regardless of the consequences, it may cost you. Paul was thrown in prison. We see that the apostles, the disciples, they were beaten. They were martyred for their faith. Faith, biblical faith, is not health and wealth, prosperity. Name it and claim it. Blab it and grab it. It's all yours. It's the silliest thing, but yet God's people fall for that all the time. And God's people, if we're not careful, just love the world. Power, possessions, pleasure. Every person's heart goes through that temptation. None of us are exempt. But if we meditate and marinate in the Word of God, as he told Joshua, Joshua, stay in my Word day and night. Meditate in it. Don't turn away from my word to the left or to the right. Then you will find good success and your life will count. Don't ruin your life. Don't waste your life. Walk by faith. Faith is not health and wealth. By the time we get to this chapter in verses 36 and 37, we're going to see that many of them suffered by faith. Many of them were mistreated. Many of them even died. But it says about them that they were able to now look over and see the future, the promises of God, and embrace them, embracing God's word and his promises as if they were a present reality. And you and I are to live from that perspective, that position. We're already there. I see God's promises in his hand. This world is going to pass away very quickly. These things that we see are temporal. The things that are unseen, they are eternal, as he's going to teach us. And don't trade it in. It says about these who walked by faith that they were able to see beyond right now, beyond what was in front of us, to not fall for the temporary and the material, but rather it says they looked to the reward. There was something about faith that had delayed gratification, that I don't have to embrace temporary selfish pleasure now, but I can walk by faith, please God, because I was looking forward to the reward. By faith, Moses was able to say, I have all the power and the possessions of Egypt, the greatest country in the world at that time. And he says, I'd rather identify and suffer with the people of God and deny the passing pleasures of sin. The Bible said that Moses was able to place greater value on the things of God than the things of the world because he was looking forward to the reward. The reward is not now. And some of you are caught up chasing the reward as if it's now. And I want to shake you and say, get out of that. Look forward to the reward, the promises of God. There's a story in 2 Kings chapter 6 where the man of God, Elisha, and they were in what seemed to be quite a pickle. Surrounding any enemy armies had surrounded them, and Elisha's servant had gotten, he woke up early and he saw that they were surrounded by the enemies, and yet Elisha understood by the will of God what God was doing. And Elijah saw it from a different perspective. And while the servant was panicking, Elijah called out and said, God, I pray that you would open his eyes that he could just get a glimpse of what really is taking place. And God opened his eyes for just a moment. And the Bible describes that he saw
chariots, warriors surrounding them, chariots of fire, God's army, this heavenly host that was actually there and present at the scene. And God destroyed that enemy army. That was God's choice. God can do whatever he wants to. But isn't it fascinating just to get a glimpse of what's really there? And God calls us to live by that type of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that is not yet seen. Faith is confidence in God's word, regardless of your circumstances and consequences, resulting in obedience. Noah built the ark. He didn't just talk about it. Moses left Egypt and went to be with the people of God and lived for God. Didn't just talk about it. It says in verse 2, look at Hebrews 11, verse 2. For by it, by faith, the elders, it's speaking about the people of old, the ancient. We would better understand that to say the fathers, those who had gone before us. For by it, the fathers, by faith, the fathers obtained, they received a good testimony. They received commendation by God. God records their story. God records your story. God records my story. What is your story going to be that gets recorded throughout all eternity? I know that on the other side, when the Lord returns, we will all live by faith. There's no doubt. But on this little brief side of eternity that the Bible says lasts just a little while, how did you write your story? What will be said about you through all eternity? Oh, Nana, she walked by faith. Even in difficult times, she walked by faith. Ah, Papa, he walked by faith. My dad walked by faith. What's your story? How's it going to be recorded about you? Oh, no. Whatever happened to that one guy? He went out and chased after the world. Oh, he got it too. Man, he had the whole world for that long. And he failed. Lost his marriage in the process, but he got the world. He chased it. He got it. What are you chasing after? What are you trusting in? The fathers before us, they received commendation and a good testimony, for they walked by faith. May we set that same examples of those who look to us, that we might walk by faith. What is your story? He goes on and he begins to answer some questions. Some of the great questions that people ask today. How did this get here? And why am I here? And this passage, this chapter, this book answers the questions. How did I get here? How did this get here? Why am I here? What is the purpose of all these things? How did the world get here? By faith, look at verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds, that is the universe, the worlds were framed, they were formed, they were created. By faith, now we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. Do you know that? Do you know that Satan's trying to lie and tell you that everything was a big bang, right? Yeah, it was a big bang. God spoke and bang, there it was, right? That's how it happened. Everything else about evolution, I promise you, is a lie. By faith, we know. The Bible tells us in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The psalmist writes in Psalm 33, and he says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all of their host. For God spoke, and it was done. God commanded, and it stood fast. The Apostle John wrote and said about Jesus, through him all things were made, and without Jesus nothing was made that has been made. God is the creator of all things. We now understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. It was created by God. So that now the things which are seen were not made by things which are visible. God created out of nothing. Things that had not existed, God spoke on his canvas of the universe. Millions and billions of stars spoken into existence by the Word of God. Millions, perhaps billions of angels. The Lord simply spoke them into existence. And yet we see people who would worship the stars and the angels. I say no, but rather worship the God who spoke it all into existence. And yet you were created, you alone were created in the image of God. God loves you. In the image of God, you were created, which you alone have the capacity to have a relationship with God. God loves you so much that even when we sinned, he sent a Savior to die, not for the angels, but for you. By faith, we know God created. By the Word and the revelation of God, we know he loves us, that he watches our hearts, and he has given us instruction on how to live by faith. Faith, biblical faith, is trusting now yourself into God's ability. Fall back, just like Colton did. Just fall back. Biblical faith is trusting that God would catch us, trusting in God's ability, trusting in God's promises, trusting in God's word. So let me ask you as we close, what is your faith in today? Don't tell me by your words, I'll see it by your life. What is your faith in today? Maybe you could slow down just enough, slow your mind down just enough, look in the mirror and say, what is my faith in? Think back on your actions, how you live your life. Is your faith in yourself? Look, if you have any wisdom, strength, resources, it's only because by God's grace, he gave it to you. Trust in the one who gave you those things. What is your faith in? Is it in yourself? Is it in the world? Is it in your heart? God says, don't trust your heart. The heart is incurably sick, deceitfully wicked. Don't trust your heart. Trust God and his word. What is your faith in? Is it in the government that's going to deliver us? Is your faith in money? Is that what you're pursuing? I say pursue God. Is your faith in some religious figure? Is your faith in the Pope? We see so many people, their faith is in a religious figure. Their faith is in money. Their faith is in the things of this world. Let me ask you, how many of you would say, is your faith in God? That you're trusting God, falling back, not only in your words, but in your lifestyle. Faith will keep you from sinning. Faith will bring pleasure and God's favor upon your life. You can please God with your faith. Faith will keep you out of the things of the world and out of sin. Listen, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay, and sin will cost you more than you can afford to pay. But by faith, you can live a life that's pleasing to God, and God has given us all that we need to know about how we can live a life of success as God calculates success. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for just looking at these first three verses, how much you say to us about this definition of faith, what faith is, what faith is not. And I pray that each one of us, that our stories would be written throughout all eternity as those who walked by faith. for every Nana and Papa here, for every mom and dad here, for every child here, that would be written and said about us. Lord, we get just a brief amount of time on this side of eternity. I pray that we would choose to trust you and to walk by faith. I pray that we would walk in obedience. I pray that we would have confidence in your word, regardless of our circumstances or consequences, that we would believe you and trust you. So, Lord, sow these words into our hearts and cause us to reflect on what you've said, that we might honor you with our lives. Lord, I pray for each person here today. Cause them to walk by faith, oh God. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.